Our role model is ourself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Our role model is ourself. We have the tendency to look out at other people and say, oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, they're so orderly. Oh, they're so good. Or they're so fantastic. Now, if they were not a reflection of ourselves, we would not be reporting on them. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're looking out and seeing unhappiness in the world, then that's within us that we're reflecting and reporting back, because it's always a mirror. The world is our mirror. And so when we look out and we see beautiful people doing beautiful things, then that's what our world is. People doing beautiful things in a beautiful way. Now, what sort of world do you look out on every moment of your life? And what sort of world does your family look out on? What sort of world does everyone in your life look out upon? Now, it's interesting. We try to be so super honest on things that are obvious, and we are not trying to be super honest on things that are not obvious. We say to ourselves, I would never steal something that didn't belong to me. I would never lie. I would never cheat. I would never take advantage of the law that provides Medicare, Medi-Cal, and stuff like that if I didn't deserve it, if it wasn't mine to have, if it wasn't something that I should have. I wouldn't do that. And I'm going to be very careful that I don't, you know, do something in the wrong way. And yet, we don't think anything about saying, okay, I see everyone in the world beautiful, harmonious, and joyful, and then we turn around and judge them. We turn around and we make observations about them, that they're less than perfect, that they have problems, that they are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and so forth. But when we do that, we're just reflecting who we are. Truly, truly, we're just reflecting who we are. We're not really reflecting what the people are doing, because the people are only doing what we see them doing. You've all gone to see magicians perform, or heard of them, or seen them on television or whatever. And what is the nature of the positions, the magician's trade? What term does he use? What term does he use for his activity that makes you surprised?
Illusion.
It's called legerdemain. Oh. Illusion, yeah. Same thing. Legerdemain. The eye, the hand is faster than the eye. And you are sort of fooled, and you're made to think something is so, and it's not so. But you think it's so. And of course, this is the art of all that stuff. And this is the art of you. You want to believe the magician because it's kind of nice what he's doing, kind of charming. And you want to believe the things that they're doing is real and right because it seems like a lovely thing to do. But you know it's not so. You know, you're not surprised if you find out that he had some little trick that he pulled, you know. You're not surprised if you find out that they're... he revealed his secret, you know, which he kept hidden very well. And you're not surprised about that. But you see, there you are being dishonest because you know that that person is using legerdemain. He's trying to fool you. He's trying to fool you by doing what he's doing, and he's succeeding. He's succeeding in fooling you because you think that he did what he did, yet you know he didn't do what he did because it cannot be, and yet it seems like it was. Mm-hmm. And it's a very amazing thing. And it's just like in Hogan's Heroes again, this one fellow, he is sort of a shifty guy, a card shark and sleight of hand and that sort of stuff. And he would reach up and take a coin out of someone's ear, you know, or take an egg out of their shirt pocket or something. And he would take the wallet out of one person's shirt, his coat, and put it in another person's coat without them even realizing what he was doing. And then later, when the one person missed their wallet, the other person, everyone looked in their pockets, you know, just as they would. And there it was in the commandant's pocket, where it should not have been, you know. But it was there. Now, how did it get there? Well, we know how it got there. But the thing is, they don't, and they just think that someone is cheating, that someone's doing something nonsense. And they say, I don't understand this, but it's beyond my imagination, you know. So, we allow ourselves to say that we're honest, and yet we allow ourselves to be fooled, because we want to be fooled. We want to have our credulity stretched to its ultimate. And in the process, we are lying. And it's a very shady area, but we're lying nonetheless. And perhaps you'll say, the magician did what he did. But why is it only the magician who can do that? Because he has learned the skill of being faster with his eye, with his hand, than the eye. Like the nuts, the three nuts, you know, and they put a little pea under it and they keep moving around. And at some point he takes the pea out and he's just moving it around and it's under none of them, you know. And then at others he puts three peas under it while he's still moving these things. You don't know that. And then every one you call, there's a pea under it, you know, and because it's what you want to find. It's what you want to have as an experience. But you know. It's just his hand is so fast, and then he distracts your attention with one hand while you're doing something with the other. Mm-hmm. And you aren't watching what you're supposed to be watching. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be watching the whole thing. But my point is not so much what they do, but the fact that you know that it's not true and you want to believe it, and you are amazed, and you know you shouldn't be. Because it's just a matter of a trained magician, a trained person doing what he's doing. Now, we want to be so selective in our life, so careful, that everything we think and say and do is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know. You say that so glibly, you know. Well, now, are you the truth? Are you pure honesty in all relationships, in all experiences? Are you pure honesty even when the magician is there, you know? Now, I'm going to put this to you. If someone comes to you and says, my foot is broken, and you say, your foot is whole and perfect. Now, what sort of a nut are you? You're going against the most logical, obvious circumstance that the foot is broken. And you're saying it's whole and perfect. And you say it's whole and perfect, and say it's whole and perfect, and the person has the foot treated, and the foot mends, and the foot's whole and perfect. Now, you say it's whole and perfect, and you say to the person, you just were a little slow in your receiving it or accepting it. You had to go through the procedures that you felt were necessary for it to be whole and perfect. You did not deny that it was whole and perfect. You just denied that it's not evidencing that at this moment while it's healing. And we want to train ourselves to evidence it while it's healing, that it's already healed, that it's already perfect, that it's already wonderful. Now, that's a very challenging thing to do, because we're not good magicians. We haven't learned to do the sleight of hand. But the thing is, it can be done. Now, if you were a person who was, so to speak, a healer, and you came up to a person who was very ill, they were dying of something, and you said to them, you're whole and perfect. And they said, I believe. And so then you, however you think about it, you move time ahead for them very rapidly, so that the healing takes place and the wholeness is there, and the matter of time is done in just a flash. And but that's only for that body organ, that it has that. The rest of him never was in trouble. He returned to his original purity and integrity. Now, you say, well, that seems kind of manipulative to think of it and say it that way. Yes, it is. Yes, it is manipulative. And this is what we continually want to do. Now, if you have the ability to think in absolute terms and say, you're whole and perfect right now, and see them whole and perfect right now, then there'd be no need for any time, there'd be no need for any healing. And what would happen? A spiritual healing would happen where there'd be no blood, there'd be no bandage, there'd be no doctor, there'd be no remembrance on the part of the individual that they had an injury or an illness, no remembrance, and zip, it's done. Now you say, oh boy, but you see, it's not done. We want to say it's done, but you return in awareness to your original purity and integrity. It always was done. It always was perfect. For a moment, just for instance now, can you think for a moment how it would feel if you were to drop a stone on your foot? I mean, if you got any imagination at all, you can visualize, and you can feel that hurt. Well, now, in your consciousness, you feel that hurt just as much as if it had really happened. And you could have the pain from it, but without it having really happened. You could have the injury from it without it really happening. Because all these things are in your mind, they're mental. All these things are things that we think about and things that we put into consciousness. Now, it's up to us now to start either playing the game as humans and loving the hospitals and loving the illnesses and loving the challenges that we bring into our life, or play this game from a higher level. And that doesn't mean you're no longer human, but it's a higher level. At the level where you see all in divine order. Now, so long as you see all in divine order, you're still human. It's a nice way to be human, though. But you're still human. So long as you see a body, so long as you see individualization, uniquenesses, then you're a human. And once you're absolute, then what do you see?
Nothing.
All is one. All is one. Yeah. When you're in the absolute, all you see is all is one. And all is. And there is no transition. There is no motion picture between experiences. Each experience you look upon is an is that is. And it has no validity other than your consciousness to it. So, I always delight when people tell me they want to work in the absolute and they want to work in this consciousness and they want to do these things. And then when I say to them, okay, give up everything you have. Your clothes, your house, your cars, your body, your friends. Not yet. And why not yet? Because you like being human. But those things in being human are not real. Those are all changing illusions every instant. They're changing. One minute you have these things, and the next minute you have those things. And now, science is trying to come up and say the adult stem cells in the brain are damaging the body. But the baby stem cells are not, but the adult stem cells are. Now, what an interesting thing to plant in consciousness. Now, how do you know those are adult stem cells except that they're cells that one time were stem cells and they're no longer stem cells now that they're, differentiated. Mm-hmm. Now that they're differentiated.
And there are no stem cells anymore.
Only what you want. Only the game you want to play. But think about these things because they're quite demanding, quite valid, and quite dramatic if you pay attention to it and have fun with it, because that's what it's all about. So, human, absolute, relative, absolute, whatever role you want to play on, you make up your mind. Because you can be a loser on the relative level by saying the world out there is doing everything. And you can be a loser in never getting to the absolute level by saying it doesn't exist. And the absolute is all there is. So, think about these things and have fun and know that I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.